Hello and welcome to Ninja History Taking Skills for Holistic Practitioners. I'm Dr. Rita Maria Lo Scalzo, and I'm going to guide you through how to really hone in and ask the right questions so that you can assess what's going on for your clients as they come to you with trust and confidence that you're going to be able to dig and find out what's really going on with their symptoms. And when we go through these, we're going to break it up into pieces and smaller pieces so that you can really understand each piece and you can study each piece in turn and really master each piece. You don't have to do all of the questions that we're giving you. For your particular niche or for your particular client, it may not be necessary or appropriate to ask everything that's in here. But this is a very thorough history that we're giving you, and we give you the skills to really hone in and really dig deep. It's really important that you don't overlook things, because those little things that you forget to ask about may provide the clues and the keys for getting the problem solved. So before we begin, let's just make sure that you're aware that any of the information I'm presenting here is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it's also not medical advice. And when you're presenting to your clients, you need to be really careful and make sure that they are aware that what you're presenting and what I'm presenting here today is intended as a sharing of my knowledge, information, clinical research, and clinical experience over many years. I encourage you, and you should encourage your clients, to make their own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. This is especially true for folks who are on any medications. Just want to make sure that the things that we talk about in terms of nutrition are not going to interfere with the protocols. So let's talk first about what a functional assessment includes, just an overview of what things we're going to be covering throughout the program, and then we'll hone in on the exam. So what we're talking about now, ninja history taking and interview skills. What does that really mean? Well, what that means is your ability to be the little detective, sleuth around and really dig and understand things that maybe nobody's ever done before. And there's a particular set of questions and histories that you can do. We're going to look at questionnaires and surveys, preferably scorable, so that you can look at the objective numbers to say, wow, we've really seen some improvement. We've seen 25% improvement in you in the last month and a half. Your symptoms are showing that. You can do this with surveys about the body and also about nutrition. We're going to have questions that include all aspects of their health, their diet, their environment, their habits, their exposures, their stressors, and their past. We're also going to look at a client diet and diary analysis and session check-in forms. It's really important to have people journal what they're doing, because when somebody comes to you and say, well, I'm not feeling any better, I'm still having headaches, what's going on? And you get to see what exactly they're doing, you may be able to just uncover the clues that help them to make the progress that they're looking to make. Functional physical evaluation, that's what we'll be doing in Module 2. That's where you do a really thorough exam, not just looking for skin tags and heart rate and things like that, but more looking at functional items that would give you an idea of really what's going on inside. We're going to look at traditional Eastern body diagnosis. We're not going to go into real big depth in that you would get if you went to acupuncture school. We're going to go through some of the things that you can include in your own body diagnosis with people easily without having to spend years learning it, but they could give you some extra clues. We're going to look at nutritional deficiency physical clues. That's really important. And all of this is going to be covered in the physical exam. We're going to look for signs on the nails, on the hair, and the skin, on the tongue that say, hey, this person may have these particular nutrient deficiencies. And then we're going to look at blood chemistry analysis. That's our all-day seminar where we're going to pull apart what's in the blood and really help you to understand it. It's going to take some time. It's going to take repetition before you get it. But the more familiar you are with that and the more you understand it, the better able you are to dig for clues. And finally, we'll look at functional lab tests, and those would be tests that check the function of various body parts. And we do that using saliva, urine, hair, and stool. So this will cover our 14 weeks of course. And where we are right now is the art of ninja history taking. So let's take a look. Why is it important? Well, I think I've honed in, I've just over and over repeated why it's important, because we really want to understand the root causes, what's really going on for a person, not just to treat their symptoms and give them an herb that'll give them more energy without really understanding why the energy is zapped. Because even when you're using nutritional approaches, we can tend to get into the symptom solution, and it's really deeper than that. We want to know what it takes to be thorough. I can't tell you how many people I see that have come to me from various other practitioners, and when I start to do some of my assessment, they're going, wow, nobody ever asked me that before. Wow, nobody ever looked at that before. And nobody ever got the results that I've been looking for because they weren't looking in the right places for them. So this is really, really key. It's being thorough. We want to learn how to do functional assessments, not just static assessments like this is it. A lot of practitioners look at the blood as it's a static assessment. It's not. It's, if you look at it properly, you can get a lot of ideas of how things are functioning rather than is something diseased or not diseased. It's a process that looks at the root cause analysis, not just treating symptoms. And we can treat symptoms with herbs the same way we could treat symptoms with drugs. Maybe they're not as quick and effective, but we really want to get at the root cause, and we want to understand what's going on and what behaviors, what habits the person has that has been contributing to it. We want to help them identify risk factors. You don't want somebody to wake up one day and suddenly have a disease. Well, that disease has been brewing for a long time, and if you don't identify the risk factors and help them to make changes to shift that around, they could be waking up one day with a dread disease. Early detection, right? Instead of waiting for, say, liver enzymes to be through the roof and decide that this person has cirrhosis or hepatitis or fatty liver disease, we're looking at functionally, how are the numbers changing over time? Have they been going up? Have they been going down? Have they been becoming deficient? They don't just suddenly become deficient. They just aren't suddenly deficient. So you understand, we want to get early detection. We don't want to wait till things are far progressed. We want to help them with the prevention of disease and dysfunction, because there are clues, there are early signs, and there are specific conditions that can lead to other conditions, and they're reversible if you catch them early enough. Finally, yeah, we want to address the signs and symptoms before they become pathology. So that's why taking a really thorough history and then following it up with the exam and the labs that we're going to be going through will really help you to assess where the person is, where they're heading, and how you're going to change that path so that they don't continue to head down the path of destruction. So let's look at what are the four pillars of a functional assessment. This is just a review. We're looking at the historical data, the questions we're going to teach you in this module to ask about. We're going to look at scorecards. We're going to look at the physical body, traditional physical exam, which really looks to detect pathology, and then functional testing, which may look at reflex points or functional abilities and also some of the Eastern medicine things. We're going to look at in-office and at-home testing, because in addition to being able to send somebody to a lab for blood analysis or stool analysis or saliva analysis, those things can be expensive. There are quite a number of things that you can do in your own office if you have one and if you have that in your license to be able to do, but also at home where you could teach people how to do that, certain labs and certain measurements that they can do at home, like mineral test kits and pH paper and other things like that. And then there's, of course, the labs, where we're going to teach you how to know when a person needs labs, what labs to order, and then once you order them, how to interpret them. And there's also blood, urine, saliva, hair, and stool, as I mentioned previously. So the history taking is a process of getting to know your new client. They may be somebody you've known on a non-professional level. That often happens. Friends and friends of friends start showing up at your door when they hear about your newfound skills. They may be somebody that you've never met before, that they've just called you up out of the blue and said, hey, I like what you're doing. How can you help me? So you want to be able to start from wherever you're starting with them and get to the point of really knowing them intimately. And I don't mean being invasive with your questions, and I don't mean prying into their personal business. I mean just getting to know them and how they function, how they think and feel as well, so that you can have protocols and processes and techniques to help them, to guide them to get to where they want to go. So the first thing is the initial contact. That can happen in many ways. That can be you speaking to someone at a networking meeting. It can be you meeting somebody at the grocery store or on a bus. Or it could be somebody calling into your office and saying, hey, tell me about what you do. I think I'd like to make an appointment. So that first initial contact, you want to ask very inquisitive type questions. You don't want to seem to be prying. You just want to get to know what's going on for them. Be curious. And when you're curious and you're really interested in them, that's when they're going to open up, and that's when they're going to be much more amenable to you helping them. So you want that first contact to be really valuable. And during that first contact, you want to get an understanding, at least a superficial understanding, if not a deep understanding, of what's important to this person and what they really want to be doing with their life, with their career, with their relationships. And then how is their current state of health, or lack thereof, getting in the way of what they really want? And when you can have that information on an initial contact, you're then able to really focus the way you speak to them to help inspire and motivate them, rather than scare them with all of the diet, nutrition, lifestyle changes they may have to be making. Then you can have the pre-consultation form. So the initial contact is not where you have an official appointment with them necessarily, although it might be like you've offered a free consultation or a free discovery session or a free strategy session in an attempt to get to know someone and see if it's a good match for actually working together. You have pre-consultation forms. These are online forms or paper and pen forms if you want to be old-fashioned about it, or if people prefer that, if you do a lot of work where people like to sit in the waiting room and fill out forms. But more and more practices are moving towards online forms. You can get these to people before the initial consultation, and preferably you've signed them up for an initial consultation. You've gotten payment from them for that initial consultation so that you can get them the forms and have the time to look through them without running the risk of them setting up an appointment, sending in all their forms, you spending an hour or two going over their forms in preparation, and then they don't show up. Believe me, been there, done that. I don't do that anymore. Before I'll look at anybody's forms, I have to have the check in hand, because it is a big investment of my time. And when you learn these skills, you're going to be really thorough, and it's going to take you a lot of time to really get to know this person to the level that you want to or need to help them. And all, by the way, these pre-consultation forms, I've got samples of all of these, and I'm giving you both online and paper and pen forms that you can use. Then you have it. The moment of truth, the initial consultation. Hopefully by then you have gone through their forms, you've made notes, mental notes and written notes. I'll oftentimes take their forms and I just make myself a little summary sheet and just keep track of what some of the things that you want to know more about. So I'll have a list of questions that I want to ask them specifically that they don't maybe give me enough information, or that they've piqued my interest. They've had a particular surgical procedure and I want to find out more on how that happened. So I make a list of the things that I want to delve deeper on, a list of things that I want clarification on, and then I'm also having a list of one of my thought processes just going through this online, these online forums, getting a sense of where some of the stress levels lie. There you get so much out of a history. And we're going to go through in detail in this presentation how to do that initial consultation. You want to get to know them through journals of their daily activities and diet, and preferably before that initial consultation, as part of the pre-consultation form packet, you get them to fill out some diet diaries and daily activity diaries, so you get a sense of how much water they're drinking, what are they eating, how are they exercising, how much do they sleep. And they can, you can have them journal for 3 days for you. Really helpful to have that on the initial consultation. What I find is when I do a thorough job of giving them the forms to fill out in advance, that initial consultation is awesome, because when either they walk in the room or they get on the phone, whichever way I'm doing my consultation, I just feel like I know them. I know so much about them. And it's so much more comfortable to be in that position than to be guessing and asking questions and learning the new stuff as they present it, because you don't have as much time to really think about it and formulate your impressions. So these are really important pieces of the getting to know your client. If they have old labs, a lot of folks will submit them, give them to you. They're excited because they know that you know how to read labs, and they may be giving you old labs that they've had taken. Now, don't be surprised if some of them are extremely thorough. I once had somebody, new client, she sent and filled out her paperwork, and then I get this fax, a 60-page fax from two of her old doctors of all the labs she'd had done over the past several years, and it was a lot. Did I get to know this person well? Yes. I spent a lot of time before her consultation, but you know what? She had signed up for a 6-month program. So I wasn't feeling like, oh my God, I just charged this person $150 for what was supposed to be an hour consultation, and I've spent 4 hours in advance doing their forms. And then you want to feel an integrity. You want to give them really great value for their investment, but you also want them, you want to feel like you're getting the most out of it. So if you spend 5 hours and get paid $150 after all your training, that's not really great money. So, you know, you've invested a lot in your education, and you want more than that. And not that you're just doing it for the money, but in order to be able to do this to make a living and not have to have a day job and help more people, you do need to make a good living at it. So now we're coming to the heart of our ninja history taking. We're going to go through what are the components of a thorough history. And I'm going to take you through 7 to 10 components that I think are really important to have in every good history. Some of the parts you won't go into in as much depth. Some of them you might go lighter. Depends on what your niche is, what your objective is with the patient and the client, and how deep you really schedule to go. If you're at primary care practitioner for these folks, and that's where a lot of people use me as a primary care, they want me to be their go-to person, I need to get to know them really, really well. But if they're working with other practitioners and they've just come to you for the diet pieces, obviously you're not going to go as deep, but you also do want to do a lot of these pieces because you want to know what diet is right for them. You want to know how to follow up, and also because unless they're seeing a really outstanding functional medicine practitioner, they're probably not getting a real thorough look at. So let's look at the components of a thorough history, okay? So the first one is basic, you know, the boring stuff, the demographics and general information. So, you know, where they were born, where they live, how old they are, how much they weigh, those sorts of things. I'm going to show you, we have a slide on each of these individual pieces of on this particular slide, and then we have some actual exam samples. And when I say exam, I mean consultation and history taking samples that you can actually use. You can use as much of them as you want, as little of them as you want. You may want to take them and personalize them, but I have given you them in as many as I can in 3 different formats. One is the online form, which I use, and not 100% of my forms have been converted to online. So 100% of them are not there, but some of them are in progress. Then I've given you, where I can, a Word document so that you can actually go in there and modify it and personalize it and add some questions of your own, put your header, footer, phone number, etc. on it. And then there's a PDF, so if you just want to take it as is, print it off, and hand it to somebody to use, you can. And as I go through and show you some of the forms, I'll explain to you that you can use all of these forms or some of them. And the reason I did them in separate forms, separate units, was so that if you didn't want to do a completely thorough history, I didn't want to hand you a 27-page history form and say, here, use this, and you have a lot of work to do. So if I have them as individual ones, you can print them out separately and give them to people appropriately, or you can put them online and have people download them and print them themselves and use them. There's a lot of ways that you can do it. So the demographics, the health goals are, what is really important to them? Where do they really see themselves? How is their current health getting in the way? And what do they vision? What's that big vision? What's that vision that just makes them happy and excited and motivated to make the changes that you're going to ask them to make? Next, we do the history of the chief complaints. And that's terminology, it's medical terminology. I've used it just for consistency for those of you who are coming from more of a traditional medical background. The history of the chief complaint or complaints. I've got a couple of different forms and formats you can use where they can fill in what is it that they're really wanting to deal with, because you may start to look at them and see, wow, this person has a thyroid problem, this person has an adrenal problem, and their chief complaint is they want to get rid of their shoulder pain, or they've got a bellyache that they can't get rid of and they want to get rid of it. So you want to honor what they believe is their chief complaint. So what I do is I ask them about to list their complaints, but list them and give them priorities so that I know that in order to be a hero with this person, I need to get them some relief quickly from at least their top chief complaint. And I've given you room on my form for 10 of them. Hopefully people don't have 10, but you never know. And we'll go through the details of what's in them. Current health and exposures. What does that mean? Well, current health is what's going on right now. That's where you can go through and ask them, well, do you have any issues with your sinuses? Do you have problems with your cardiovascular? Have you ever been told you have heart problems? Do you have respiratory problems? Digestive problems, hormone problems. I mean, just to ask them to just objectively lay out and write out what problems they see as them having in those places. It's interesting because it's really great to get their perception, because sometimes the clients, the patients, don't really know where those particular symptoms come from, what system they come from. So we're asking them about that. We're asking them about exposures. And I have a whole list of pieces that are included in the current health and exposures that you want to make sure you cover. We definitely need to know their medication and supplement history, and not just what they're taking now, because a lot of times people either add stuff or they take it away right before they start to talk to you, because they figure, oh, she's going to tell me to take some vitamins, so I'm going to start taking some omega-3s because I heard those are good. And they come in and you see their sheet and it says omega-3s, and you don't ask them, you don't know that they just started them 2 weeks ago. Or you don't know that they've started them 4 years ago and they still have signs and symptoms of omega-3 deficiencies. So you want to know with medications and supplements when they started them, how long they've been on them, what the effect has been. Have they noticed improvement? Do they say, yes, this is my favorite supplement, don't ever take it away from me because I feel great on it? They say, well, I don't know, I just read it in a magazine, I thought it was a good idea to take, and I've been taking it for 3 years. Same with medications. You want to know what medications they're on, what they're for, etc. And we have a form that I'll show you for filling that in. You want to look at their past health history and their family history. That tells you what kind of risk factors they are set up for now, right? If they've had specific surgeries, if they've had specific illnesses or injuries, they're going to have a weak spot in those areas. So you want to be noticing that and helping them to be able to improve that. Looking at their family health is just really very valuable, because when you look at their family health, you're going to be seeing some genetic patterns perhaps, and also some kind of lifestyle factors. So you may have a family history of obesity, but it could be that it's mom's traditional cooking, which includes a stick of butter and a whole bunch of of gravy at every meal, right? And the kids just grow up portly, to say the least, because of that, versus having a specific set of genetics that predisposes them to a slow metabolism. We have organ and gland scorecards, and these are among my favorites because I use these periodically to reassess over and over again at different intervals, maybe 3 and 6 months a year, to see how people have progressed. And it's really great when they do these and they get the answers themselves. I'll show you how these work. They actually fill out the form and they get a response back that shows them what their scores are in the different areas. And when they see that they've improved, it's like, wow. Or they see that one area hasn't, though, okay, now we need to work on that stomach acid. I know you talked to me about it, but I hadn't been willing to take those bitters that you were telling me about. But you know what? Everything else has improved, and that's not, so let's work on that now. So they're really good for motivation. And we have nutrient evaluation scorecards. I have 3 different ones that I'll share with you. You can add to them, you can take away from them, however you want to do it. But what I do with those is it gives me a kind of general idea of how what clusters of symptoms they have related to specific nutrients. And the computerized version helps to save me lots of time. So I love doing those. And journals and tracking forms. So these are the forms that I'm providing you some samples, and you can add your own, of ways that you're going to help them to keep track of what they're doing, not just before you talk to them the first time so you get a sense, but also ongoingly as you give them specific changes to make. You want to have them tracking to see how they're doing, if they're complying with them, and also how much they're improving. And finally, this is an assessment called the Ready and Willing Assessment. So have you ever worked with somebody or talked to a relative where they say, oh, I just can't stand this particular ache or pain, I just want to get rid of it, and you say, oh, well, you know, I had that kind of situation before. I know somebody who did. They got really good relief from giving up gluten, or they did really well by taking this particular herbs, and they go, I can't do that. I could never give up gluten. No, I could never give up sugar. No, I could never. You know, when you hear people say that, I could never. That's part of their ready and willing assessment. And when you have somebody who's come to you and asked for help, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily ready and willing to do everything you tell them to do. Yes, we get those people. And yes, I adore those people. And I have an awesome time working with those people because they get results, and they get results quickly. But there's others where there's things getting in the way. And that's just part of what you'll be doing with people, is not just to tell them what to do. It's to inspire and motivate them with what to do, but also to understand what's getting in the way and help them to remove some of those blocks. And if you don't like to do the emotional coaching kind of work, you set yourself up with somebody you know that does. So on our next video, we're going to look at each of these assessments, each of these components of a thorough history. And we'll look at them in detail. I'll show you examples of some of the forms. I'll talk to you about the kinds of questions you might want to be asking people in your interview, and really shape your history taking. Now, there's a lot to this. You're not going to learn it overnight. It's going to take practice and repetition. And you'll customize it after a while, but at first you'll just kind of be following along, and it will get better and better. You will get better and better, and the questions will just start flowing off your tongue. You won't have to look at scripts anymore. But it is really great when you start out and you're doing it on the phone, because you can have all your scripts in front of you, and you can use cheat sheets, and nobody gets to see it. And you get to ask them and really wow them with your wonderful expertise at flying the questions off. But it will come to you. So you can pause now and get ready to go on to the next video, where you can learn the specifics of each individual component.